I am so thankful to be with you today. Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look to that 11th verse in just a moment. And while you're finding that, let me give you a bit of a recap. You recall from a couple of weeks ago that we were talking about our purpose. And I've said it many, many times from this pulpit. What is your purpose? To glorify God. And we were talking about a couple of weeks ago that we can glorify God in a number of ways. And the first way that we can do that and that He wants to do that is through worship. Folks, when you worship and give God worthy worship, folks, that warms the heart of God. Isn't that something we all want to do, to warm the heart of God? Now, the second thing that we can do to glorify God is that we can love others in His family. That we can love the brothers and sisters. We call that fellowship. So we've talked about worship, we talked about fellowship, and today we're going to look at a third purpose, a third thing that God calls us to do, to give Him glory, and a reason that He put you on this earth, and that is this, that God wants you, God wants me, God wants all of us to become like His Son. He wants us to look like Jesus. He wants us to be like Jesus, to develop our character until people, when they see us, say, "You remind me of Jesus." He wants us to think like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to value the things that Jesus values, to think the way that Jesus thinks. And we are going to turn to His Word at this time. Would you stand with me as we read Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. Listen to His instruction here. "And He," it's a capital H, so that's God, "and He Himself gave some to be apostles." Any apostles here? No. "Some to be prophets." There may be some here. "Some evangelists." I pray there's a lot here. "Some pastors." I hope there's several here and some that will be. Amen. "And some teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, what does "to edify" mean? It means to build up in a positive way. "For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man." If you're perfect already, you can step out now. You don't need this sermon. "But we are coming to a unity of faith and to God so that He could make us towards being a perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Do you see what He's saying we're called to? "That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." In other words, people are out there trying to pull you off. "But instead, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." And I've never known anybody that could write a run-on sentence like Paul. But he sure had the words from the Lord. "All these things so that we might grow in maturity and no longer be children, so that we might be like Christ, not tossed about by somebody's teaching here or there that's not right." He calls us to be mature in our faith. Can I pray for you? Join me in prayer. Father, I pray for these, each and every one, that even by the end of today, that there would be a growth because of understanding of Your Word, a deeper richness in their walk because of the understanding of Your Word. God, I pray that each and every one of us would mature just a little this day. And Lord, that in our daily walk, that we would mature a lot so that we're not tossed about like little children. This we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus, for this is a prayer we know you want to answer. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Folks, our third purpose in glorifying God is to become like Christ, to grow up. You know, babies are so cute, aren't they? We've got a lot of them in our church. A lot of them are out visiting today somewhere on spring break. But I know this, we've got a ton of babies in our church. And aren't they cute? But wouldn't it be a shame if they stayed that way forever? I know we want them to stay babies, mamas. But mamas, it would be a tragedy if your baby didn't grow up. Amen? It really would be. God also wants us to mature. He doesn't want you to stay a babe in Christ. Babies are cute and they can do baby things, but when adults do baby things, it's not cute anymore. Amen? And God wants us to mature. Unfortunately, many people grow older in Christ, but they don't mature. That's a sad, terrible thing. God didn't save you to remain an infant, but to grow and become like His Son, Christ Jesus. You know what that process is called? Discipleship. Disciplining in Christ, and it comes through some work. You've got to grow through the workings of your life, and we're going to talk about some different things that you can do. This process, discipleship, takes a lot of forms, many forms, and today we're going to look quickly at five of them. We've already talked about a couple of them. First of all, we're going to look to the Word of God. The Bible is one of your first elements for growing in God. How do you grow in God with the Bible? What do you have to do? Read it. I don't know how many of you have put the Bible under your pillow at night and thought that you're just going to soak it up by osmosis, but it doesn't work. And it doesn't work sitting on the shelf at home either. Folks, you have to pick up your Bible and you've got to read it. God speaks to you. Listen, God speaks to you through His living Word. The truth. Jesus is our truth. Jesus is the Word. So when you're reading the Word, you're reading Jesus. You're reading God's Son. And the truth of God will transform us. If you really want to grow spiritually, get into God's Word. And if you want to grow in more, get into God's Word in a group. And study the Bible together. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. And leave it. Read and live it. Don't leave it. Live it. Listen, you know what? We had a few problems with the computer this morning, and you may have a problem with me mispronouncing. Don't you let Satan steal what God wants to give you. Amen? Don't leave the Word. Live the Word. And all God's people said. See, you can remember that even if you remember nothing else. Live the Word. God speaks to us through His Word. Another way that God matures us, another way that God grows us to become more like Christ is through other people. The people that are sitting around you can help you grow in Christ. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one friend, what? Sharpens another. We sharpen one another in Christ. And listen, I don't know if you've ever used a wet rock or a file, but folks, that does some shaving. That does some things where it's cutting some things off of our life. If we're going to be sharpened for God, some things have got to go. We understand this. That we should try to spend as much time as we can with mature Christians. We learn from others and we grow and we develop. Now, another way that God matures us is in our life experiences. The things that God allows in your life will grow you into maturity if you will give them to God. God uses our life experiences to teach us to trust Him. We're talking about the good things. We're talking about the difficult things. Now, everybody knows this verse. Everybody knows Romans 8:28. I'm going to tell you, I think everybody, say it with me. And if you don't have to read it, don't read it. Just say the version you know, okay? And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. You know that scripture. And you claim that scripture. I know you do. Everybody knows it. Did you know that God uses all things for what? Our good. But what is that good? What is the good that it brings us to? Look at the completion of that thought in verse 29. How many of you can quote Romans 8:29? Oh, we need to be able to do that. Look what verse 29 says. It says, for whom, and it says, wait a minute, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. God works all things together for the good of those who love him, to conform them to the image of his son. You say, wait a minute. Those two verses look like they go together. Guess what? You're right. They go together. You need to understand that Romans 8:28 doesn't stop it. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, for those who go to the Lord's purpose. God is working your good to be like Jesus Christ. The good God wants to accomplish in us from our experiences, good and bad, is to conform us to the image of Jesus, to make us like Jesus. So you're sitting there going, oh, those two verses are related. Never forget that. When somebody quotes Romans 8:28 from now on, do your best to memorize Romans 8:29 and quote that part after them, to be conformed to his son. If you remember nothing else, remember that, to be conformed in the likeness of his son. God wants to make you like his son. Now, does that include the bad things? Does that include the painful things? Yes, all experiences. Now, what about when we make mistakes? Can God even use my mistakes? Yes. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Now, listen, understand this. It does not say, listen, it does not say that all things are good. Hello? Never said that. There's a lot of bad in this world, amen? There's a lot of evil in this world. But it's saying that anything that is given over to God, good or bad, can be used by God if we let him. He will use it to grow me. He will even use my mess ups if I will allow him to. You know, it's a tragedy when we make a mistake. And I'm going to tell you, don't go out there making mistakes on purpose and say, oh, well, God's going to use it to grow me. Listen, he might just grow you right into some major discipline. That's what we do with our children when they continue to make those kind of mistakes. And if God loves you as his child, he says he disciplines those that he loves. You know, the final tragedy of any mistake you make is not that you make the mistake, but the final tragedy might be that you don't learn from it by giving it to God and letting him do something good with it. It's a double tragedy. So God uses our life experience to teach us to trust him. God also uses our trials to grow us and to strengthen us. You know, in the Bible, troubles are often called trials or tribulations. And trials, dear friends, are situations that are not necessarily all of evil. But trials, dear friends, are situations designed by God or that God lets come into your life so that you can draw closer to God. If things were always perfect and great in your life, you wouldn't turn to God as often as you do. You wouldn't grow through that. You don't grow through the easy times. You grow through the difficult times. So God allows some things to come into your heart and into your life to stretch you, as the saying goes. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 remind us that trouble produces patience. I know this is a synopsis. Trouble produces patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope. You see, God uses the troubles for patience, the patience for character, the character for hope. Why does God do that? Listen, dear friends, God does this because he is far more interested in what you are than in what you have. You may be thinking, well, why don't I have the material and financial blessings of other people? Why don't you look and see the blessings that you do have? God is far more interested in your character than he is in your bank balance. He is far more interested in your love for him than he is in the things that you own. Dear friends, your character is far more important to God than your comfort. So why does God let me go through so much? He's drawing you to himself. Now, when you cause it to come on yourself, that's something else. And yes, God could even use that. But when you prefer to have the things that God allows to come in than the things that you call on yourself? Why is God more interested in our character than our comfort? Why? Because one day you're going to leave this world because you are a forever person. Hello? You are an eternal being. And this stage, as we talked about the last couple of weeks, this earthly stage is just to learn to get closer and closer to God so that your eternity is even richer. This time here is like the period and the line. I don't know who made this up, but man, it was a great illustration. If you could take a line and begin to draw it around the earth, and then you took that line and you began to draw it around the universe, and that line went on and on and on and on forever, that would describe the length of your eternity. Now, what is your life compared to that line? Your life on this world is like a period right in front of that huge line we just talked about. Hello? You're the period right here, the little bitty short dot of time before eternity. And you're supposed to learn on this earth how to lean on God, how to trust God, how to be like Christ Jesus in this life. Why? Because God is far more interested in your character in this little period so that you can have a richness of that eternity. God's goal for your life is godly character, not comfort. So, brother and sister, I want you to understand this, because until you understand this, many things that happen in this life won't make sense, because God is using this life to draw you to him. God is using this life to make you more like him, to conform you to Christ. And he's going to allow all kinds of trials to come into your life. Why? Because he doesn't love you? No, because he does love you. And he wants your eternity to be affected in a great way by the little bitty tiny dot here. He wants you to be drawn closer to him. So his goal on your earthly life is not your comfort. His goal for your earthly life is character development, to be like Jesus. Wouldn't you rather have a little difficulty on this little bitty short time on earth and to have an eternity of riches? Folks, that's what he's saying. You remember what he said there in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. He said, trouble produces patience. Patience produces character. And character produces what? Hope in the Lord our God. It doesn't matter who caused it. It doesn't matter where it came from. Every problem can be used by God for his purpose, if we'll allow him to. It doesn't matter if you caused it or if others caused it, if the devil caused it. If it's given to God, God can and will use it to build character in your life, to mold you and make you like Christ Jesus. Even Christ Jesus went through trouble in his life. Amen. Do you think Jesus went through his time without trials and trouble? Listen, we could mark times through his life as long as we have some of the records. And then when he started his ministry, he had all kinds of trouble with people. He had all kinds of trials. And you remember one that came to the end of his life even before the cross. Mark chapter 14 tells us that Jesus was called into the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember? Listen, let me read it to you. He called his disciples together as he knew he was going to be going to the cross to pay for your sin and mine. And it says, and when he came to the place which was named Gethsemane, he said to his disciples, sit here a while I pray. And he took Peter and James and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. It sounded like a fun time for Jesus. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. And what did Jesus do? Jesus went to pray, to agonize over what was coming. Many of you know the weight of trial. Many of you know the weight of difficulty. You know what it is to have the sorrow like Jesus had. But I want you to note, how did Jesus respond to that? Do you remember? The scripture tells us, and it's answered, and the description is best recorded in Mark chapter 14, verse 36. It says, Jesus said, Father, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering from me. Yet I want your will, not mine. Are you hearing this lesson from Jesus Christ? Are you hearing it? It is okay, according to this scripture, to tell God, God, I don't like what's going on. This is hard. Lord, if it's possible, take this away from me. But remember what Jesus said. He said what? Not my will, but what? Your will be done, Lord God. To be like Christ, dear friends, you've got to learn to trust God with what's coming. Not only with what you're going through now, but what you think might come. And to trust Him completely, even when things look bad. Dear friend, God uses troubles to teach us to trust Him. There's one more I want to talk about this morning. And the fifth thing that God uses to grow us to be like Him is trespasses. He uses the trespasses of others to be brought into our life to teach us to forgive. You remember the Lord's Prayer, right? Everybody here could probably quote it. Do you remember that famous line right in the middle about forgiveness? He said, and forgive us of our, our trespasses as we what? Forgive those who have trespassed against us. What is he saying? That God is withholding some of his forgiveness from us until we forgive those around us? There's some who will teach it that way. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. That's Matthew chapter 6. I honestly think, dear friends, that this is the most difficult attribute of Christ Jesus to emulate. It is for me. Bearing the hurts from other people without retaliating back to them is one of the most difficult steps of becoming a mature Christian. It's tough. It often involves being misunderstood. It involves being criticized. It involves being judged. It may even involve some physical abuse or emotional abuse or verbal abuse. It might be some of the most difficult things you've been through. Now listen to me very clearly, dear friend. God does not cause evil. Hello? Are you listening to me? God does not cause evil. There's plenty of it on this earth because it comes from the devil himself. God does not cause the evil. These are evil things that happen to us, and God is not the author. Why? God hates sin. Scripture says he hates sin. But he didn't even protect his own son from the effects of sin. Are you with me? If he could have removed the effects of sin, Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross. He wouldn't have had to been beaten unrecognizable. He wouldn't have had to be hung on that tree. He wouldn't have had to suffered and suffocated all in front of people. He wouldn't have had to have the shame and embarrassment. He wouldn't have been ridiculed. He wouldn't have had to do that. Jesus was misunderstood and he was hurt and he was judged and abused. Listen to Matthew chapter 27. And those who passed by as he hung on the cross blasphemed him, wagging their heads. Now, what does that mean? You know what it means.
You think you are so good.
And they said, "Oh, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross." Oh, if they only knew that he could have. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and the elders, said, "He saved himself. Himself he cannot. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and then we'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now let me ask you, if you were a righteous person on the cross when that happened, and you had the power to just wipe these people out after they had been wagging their heads and their tongues saying such horrible things, what would you have done? Luke chapter 23 records Jesus' response to these things. It says, "And then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.'" There's an old song that just tears at my heart's strings when I think of these things. They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon my Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify him, he's to blame." He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Amen. Jesus responded to evil with forgiveness and good. "Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing." Dear friends, if we're going to grow up spiritually, we've got to learn to do the same thing. The truth is, in this life, you're going to be hurt. Not if, just when. This is not heaven. Amen? Anybody give an amen? This is not heaven. Thank you, Lord, that this is not what heaven's going to be like. To be like Christ, dear friends, we must learn to forgive. And this is the toughest one. So let me give you 2 tips for that. 2 things to help you with forgiveness. First of all, remember that God has first forgiven you. Amen? Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you." Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. God will never ask you to forgive anybody more than he has already forgiven you. Amen? The second thing, number one, remember that God has forgiven you. Secondly, never forget that God is in control of everything. Will you give it to him and let him be in control? When you're being hurt by someone, they indeed mean it for bad. But God can and God will use it for good in your life. Do you remember the story of Joseph? If you read through Genesis lately, you remember the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 50 when Joseph's brothers all came before him again after he had been delivered from all that they had done to him. Joseph reveals himself to his brothers and he says, "You betrayed me. You sold me into slavery. You lied to daddy, told him I was dead." Listen, you don't think for a moment they did all that for Joseph's good, do you? No, they did that because they were mad at him, because they were jealous of him. He said, "You did all this." But Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph tells them, he says, "You did all this to me for evil. But God used it for good." And all God's people said, "Amen. God used it for good." God saved two nations and more probably of those all around there. He saved the nation of Israel. He saved the nation of Egypt. And among them, Joseph's family and the lineage to Christ. Releasing to God the bad things that people do is mature spiritual actions. God uses the trouble in our lives to teach us to trust Him. God uses temptation to teach us to obey. God teaches us trespasses and lets us go through trespasses to teach us to forgive. We will never become like Christ Jesus without learning to trust Him, without learning to obey Him, and without learning to forgive others. Our greatest testimony as a believer is how we handle hurt, is it not? How we handle difficulty. How do we respond when we go through hardship? How do we respond when other people hurt us? Do we respond like Christ Jesus did? God's purpose for your life is to make you more like Jesus, to mature you. And if that's true, and it is, you can expect to go through some of what Jesus went through. Amen? If you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to be treated like Jesus. He's going to take you through your own Gethsemane. He's going to take you through your own trials and storms where you learn to lean on Him and you learn to trust His love. He'll take you through the desert when you'll be experiencing temptation and you'll learn to obey Him and to trust Him and to do the right thing no matter who's looking and who's not looking. He's going to take you to the cross. There will be times that people trespass against you and you will have to learn to forgive, and you will never be more like Christ than when you do. Romans chapter 8 verse 17 tells us this. Listen, if we are God's children, then we are heirs with Christ. One more time. If we are God's children, then we are heirs. Joint heirs, the scripture says, with Jesus Christ. And the next part of the verse is a wonderful promise. It says this: if indeed we suffer with Him in this world, then we will be glorified with Him in the next. And all God's people said, woohoo! Some of you said amen. Listen, we're going to be glorified with Him in the next. I don't know, listen to me, I don't know what you're going through right now. Some of you I do, but most of you I don't. I don't know what you're going through these days, but I do know how God wants you to respond to it and how God wants me to respond to it. He wants me to be more like His Son, Jesus the Christ. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord God, thank You for Your word. God, You gave us an impossible task. You said, "Be like My Son. Be ye therefore perfect, even as the Father in heaven is perfect," You said. And God, we can't except in Jesus. God, thank You that You never said we were supposed to do it alone. You said we had to do it with You. You said that without You, we can do nothing. God, thank You that You remind us, hold on to Jesus. God, help us to grow more like Your Son. God, life makes so much more sense when we realize it's not about our career. It's not about our comfort. God, this life you gave us here in this world is about developing our character. It's about becoming like your son, Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to use and live this life that you gave us for the reason you gave it to us, to become like you. Would that be your prayer? I want you to grow my character, but understand what you're praying. I want to become who you made me to be. Thank you, God, for the perfect model of Christ Jesus. Amen. God, help me. Pray this prayer. Lord, help me to become more like Jesus in the way I think, in the way I feel, in the way I act. And Lord, if that means taking me through troubled times, then so be it, Lord. I am willing. God, I don't want to, but I'm willing to be like you. I want your will for my life. Do you? Then pray it. Lord, please give me the strength to make the right choices. And dear friends, with Christ Jesus' help, that Holy Spirit who lives and rules and reigns in your heart and life, you can. You can't do it on your own, but you can with Jesus.